We are set for trial on this matter. Fact, Your Honor, I'm other aspect of the case. The defendant court has jurisdiction. And the university. We do not receive a ruling. We it's presently scheduled, but the train is rolling, but it could be stopped. Certainly could bring a motion to stay it. I hope that's clear, Your Honor. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Your Honor, sorry to raise that.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Counsel. May it please the Court, my name is Rebecca Shapiro, and in this case, I represent Chevjet Kolokoji, who is the petitioner in this case. Mr. Kolokoji asks this Court to remand this case to the immigration judge for consideration of relief related to the past persecution that he suffered based on the unsustainability of the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding. I don't believe that he could have added much more, Your Honor. I believe that he did, in fact, give an adequate response to whatever hint the immigration judge gave that there was a concern regarding his credibility on these issues. He explained, as the Honor pointed out, the difference between the June 1993 date on the diploma, which was printed en masse for everybody graduating at that time, but the distinction was he was in detention by the Serbian police and then recovering, so he actually didn't finish until August, but they didn't reprint his particular diploma. Unfortunately, what's missing from the immigration judge's decision is any consideration of the explanation that Mr. Kolokoji gave in his testimony regarding the consideration of the discrepancies. I would guess so. I think it was part of truly that he couldn't pronounce it and that he was nervous at the time and he couldn't remember exactly what the name was. And I can understand that that would have drawn some attention to his credibility. However, there were other discrepancies that he did adequately address, and the immigration judge didn't take the explanations that he gave into consideration when he made his adverse credibility finding on this issue. big problem in my case. I think part of what the big problem is in the case is also this court's holding just on August 20th of this year in Brukage versus Ashcroft. This court held that, in a similar case, that the immigration judge's decision that changed country circumstances effectively rebutted the past persecution presumption of well-founded fear of future persecution as obtained in the case of an ethnic Albanian Kosovar. If this court in that case, Brukage, and I don't know if the court needs the cite, but I have it if you need it, effectively took judicial notice of improved country conditions in Kosovo, such that ethnic Albanians seeking political asylum in this country based on persecution sustained under the Milosevic regime or before can no longer establish a well-founded fear of future persecution, then that holding directly affects Mr. Kolokuji's political asylum claim here. There is no doubt about that. That doesn't preclude Mr. Kolokuji from relief in this instance. In that case, this court held that the severity of Ms. Brukage's past persecution required another finding of whether she was eligible for humanitarian relief. In this case, past persecution is enough. He was so severely injured that he would be as eligible as Ms. Brukage. Now, I am not asking this court to make that determination of whether he is, in fact, eligible for humanitarian relief. In the first instance, that lies with the immigration judge. And so I would ask the court to remand to the immigration judge for that consideration. Well, there's certainly no way of knowing that. Mr. Kolokuji has not been in touch with his family. He doesn't know what the state of the judiciary is at this time. Needless to say, we are about 4 years post-Milosevic. During that time, there has been a UN peacekeeping force. However, if the court takes a look at both the 2000 human rights report as well as the most recent human rights report, it is clear that the judiciary that was set up is anything but independent at this time. It is unclear whether that would still be held against him, but the truth is that it does exist. And if this court were to hold that changed circumstances that dictated the decision in Brukage do not, in fact, apply to Mr. Kolokuji, the court could do so on the basis that he does have a decision against him by a court that was sitting at the time that he was in the area that sentenced him to 3 years in imprisonment. And that, in my view, would be enough to dictate a well-founded fear of future persecution. However, there has been a change in regime, and it would be disingenuous to argue at this time that the same people that were sitting in judgment of him 4 years ago are still sitting to this day. You're right, Your Honor. I do not know. He fled after he received the subpoena, saying that he was that the government was seeking to prosecute him. He had already been persecuted, but prosecute him for his political activities. At that point, he felt it was no longer safe for him to remain in Kosovo, and he did, in fact, flee. He has not been in touch with his family to ensure either their safety or his potential safety upon his possible return. He didn't, Your Honor. He held that Mr. Kolokuji was not credible, and that precluded any finding based on any substantiated past persecution because he didn't feel that he proved substantially his past persecution. Mr. Kolokuji is in his 30s, and he had been in detention here for a long time when he got back, and I actually just got the opportunity to meet him a couple weeks ago, which was wonderful. What we're asking, in Brukage, what this court did was remanded to the immigration judge, having upset the adverse credibility finding, asking the court to look afresh at the possibility of eligibility under the humanitarian asylum doctrine. It doesn't exist per se as humanitarian asylum, but the tenet of it is that the past persecution was so severe, it would be inhumane to send the abused back to the country of origin where they sustained the abuse. I believe that Mr. Kolokuji's injuries substantiated and uncontroverted by medical expert testimony, including the injury to his testicle, the injury to his feet, everything that was substantiated by the doctor, rises to the level of such severe past persecution that at least he is deserving of a determination as to whether he is eligible for that kind of relief. I'd like to maintain the rest of my time. Thank you. He was just let out 2 weeks ago.
Morning. May it please the court, I'm John Wood on behalf of the Attorney General. In this case, the immigration judge relied upon two separate grounds for finding that the petitioner's claim should be denied. First, as you know, the immigration judge found that the petitioner was not credible, and then separately, the immigration judge concluded that even if credible, the petitioner had not shown a well-founded fear of future persecution because of the changed country circumstances. Starting first with the credibility determination, that determination was supported by more than the requisite substantial evidence. The immigration judge here found that the petitioner's testimony was vague and inconsistent, that he had submitted altered documents in support of his claims, and that he had... He did not make a specific finding on that. However, the record here indicates that one of the documents, the warrant, had been sent to him by his family. The other document, the subpoena, was sent to him directly by the issuing government, and he took it with him when he fled Kosovo. The expert here, Mr. Gideon Epstein, testified that it was highly unlikely that the issuing government would have altered the documents, thus raising the question, who did? It seems highly unlikely that there's any explanation here, given that one of the documents was given to him directly by the government and the other was given to him by his family. So that is one reason why this case is very different from the Korski case upon which the petitioner places so much reliance. Of course, another difference between the Korski case and the case here is in the Korski case, the only ground upon which the immigration judge relied in finding that the petitioner was not credible was the submission of the altered document. Here, the immigration judge specifically pointed to other reasons that also supported the finding on credibility, such as the vague and inconsistent testimony. No, certainly not, Your Honor. I don't think that the argument we meant to be making was that you can't even look to anything in the transcript. I think that the point that we were making was instead that was one of the things that the immigration judge said during the hearing, but there's no evidence here that he relied upon it ultimately in making his decision. But here, though, the comments did not suggest that the immigration judge was making a finding that, in fact, bicycle riding caused the injuries. Instead, the immigration judge here was stating that there are other explanations that could be possible for the injuries, and he said that in the context, I believe, of explaining that the doctor's testimony here was not the testimony of a treating doctor, but instead it was of a consulting doctor many years down the road, and that all the doctor said was that the injuries were consistent with the asserted persecution, not... Because the document from the doctor on its face said only that the injuries were consistent with the alleged persecution. There was nothing in there to indicate that they were caused by it. So I'm not sure that anything more would have been gained. Now, had, in fact, the immigration judge been deciding whether or not the injuries were caused by bicycle riding, then I could see how it would seem odd not to hear from the doctor, but that's not at all what the immigration judge was doing. The immigration judge was just explaining that there, given that the doctor had only said that the injuries were consistent with persecution, the immigration judge were saying it could also be consistent with other possible causes. I'm not aware of any general amnesty, however. As you know, there have been changed country circumstances such that the Albanians are... Well, the pertinent detail here is that the petitioner is alleging that if he returned, he would be persecuted because of his support for the LDK government, and now the LDK government in the 2000 elections won 58% of the vote. So as the immigration judge concluded, it would be highly odd to think that the petitioner would be persecuted for having supported the LDK government when there's now an LDK-comprised government. Moreover, I believe one of the country reports, as part of the 2000 country report, said that the judiciary is almost exclusively controlled by Albanians rather than Serbs. There's nothing that I saw in the country report that was that specific in addressing sentences that had been imposed, but it did say, I believe, that the Kosovo law from pre-1989 went into effect, and that the Serbian imposed Yugoslavian law would only be applied as, I believe, something like gap fillers, and to the extent that it was non-discriminatory. The petitioner here also makes an argument that the persecution here was so severe that it would be inhumane to return the petitioner. However, the petitioner offered no evidence below or here regarding any sort of psychological harm that would occur if he were returned. And in fact, here, very pertinent is the Seventh Circuit's statement in the Scalic decision, which is cited in the petitioner's brief in an opinion by Judge Posner, where he says that even the most extreme case of persecution might not be inhumane where the persecuted group has become the ruling group. And that is exactly the situation that we have here. There's nothing in the record that suggests that any persecution, had it occurred, would be so severe that it would meet that test. And, of course, in any event, here the immigration judge found that the assertion of persecution was not credible to begin with, and that determination was supported by the substantial evidence. The petitioner, regarding the credibility determination, tries to explain some of the particular statements regarding the name of the high school, the month in which he graduated, etc. While some of those individually could conceivably be explained, collectively they are highly probative and constitute the substantial evidence required, particularly when considered in light of the altered documents and the fact that the petitioner offered no supporting documentary evidence. Thank you.
Your Honors, I would be happy to answer any of your remaining questions. I believe that almost all of our points were made on in our opening presentation. So if there are no more questions, I don't want to waste any more of the court's time. Well, I would just like to assert that the most egregious error that the immigration judge made from our perspective, and the one that casts doubt on the sustainability of all the other bases for the immigration judge's decision, was the treatment of Mr. Kolokuchi's inquiry and the immigration judge's complete abandonment with no mention at all or consideration of the uncontroverted medical expert testimony presented by Mr. Kolokuchi of his past persecution, and the complete void of any testimony or support of the immigration judge's contention that there's a possibility that those injuries were consistent with some sort of bicycle accident. I ask this court to look at each of the adverse credibility findings, both in isolation and in the aggregate, reverse the adverse credibility findings, and remand for further proceedings.